welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight, our show is honoring mothers in celebration of Mother's Day, which is next Sunday.
Yeah, next Sunday, mothers. Mother's Day is a great way to take some time out of our busy lives to be with our moms in whatever form that takes, whether she is passed on and we spend time reminiscing, or maybe she lives far away and we call and send gifts, or maybe she even lives close to you, and in that case, maybe you share a meal together. It's a time that we devote to saying thank you to our mothers who gave us life. And before we get to our guests in studio, I have my own mother on the line. Mom, are you there?
Yes, I hear you.
Hey, hi.
Hi. Hey, you got to give a little credit to the father. I didn't do it by myself.
Well, that's for sure. Women can't do it by themselves. Yeah, Father's Day is next month. But, Mom, I just wanted to get you on the phone. You're calling all the way from Florida. Yeah, Sarasota, Florida, and I just really wanted to thank you for always being there for me and for loving me and supporting me.
Wasn't hard.
Mom, is there anything you'd like to say out there to all the mothers? We have about 30 seconds or so.
Well, it's a hard life, that's what I can say, but it's well worth every pain and worry. And my daughters, all four of them, bring me great joy, although I never wanted to have any of them.
Mom,
it's sort of backwards, but I never thought I was the motherly type. I didn't think I would ever get pregnant.
Uh-huh.
And now I just cannot really imagine a life without them.
Oh, thank you, Mom.
You're welcome.
It's been really great.
My love to Diana.
Hi, Char.
Oh, hi, Diana.
Thank you, Mom, very much.
You're welcome. And
happy early Mother's Day.
Thank you, and I'm going to listen to the rest of the program on my computer, okay?
Excellent. We have three wonderful mothers and a wonderful son joining us tonight.
Okay. Thanks, sweetheart.
Thanks, Mom.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Love you.
That was really sweet, Cher, to even think about having your mom call from Florida. That was nice. My mom passed away 2 years ago, so it's really nice to be here celebrating all the mothers, and I get to talk with my mom every morning when I'm on my treadmill. Midway, I say my prayers, and I always have a word or so to say to her, So which is really nice. So You guys are really wonderful to be here. So we have three mothers in studio here. We have Shira, and we want to say
thank you for being here.
I'm glad to be here.
And we have Robin and her son, August.
I'm happy to be here, too.
Hello.
And we have Lilith.
Hey, everybody. Happy to be here, for sure.
Okay. So we're really excited to hear your stories. But first, we are going to go to news and events with Outbeat member Joel Bellagio. We'll be back.
This is Outbeat Radio News. I'm Joel Bellagio. In international news, a parliament member in the country of Cyprus is reported to have made comments last week that stoked outrage on the internet after he called gays and lesbians social deviants and compared homosexuality to pedophilia, bestiality, and necrophilia in a debate about same-sex marriage reform in Cyprus. Protests of the comments sparked both a Facebook page that had more than 1,000 fans and a letter writing campaign on a Cyprus blog site. A spokesman for a Cyprus LGBT group pointed to the event as evidence that there needs to be a focus on education. Meanwhile, in the United States, the state of Hawaii is a step closer to joining a small group of other states and allowing same-sex civil unions. In a move that still needs the governor's signature to become law, the House of Representatives Thursday night approved a measure that has drawn some of the state's biggest protest rallies. Republican Governor Linda Lingle hasn't said whether she will reject the measure or sign it into law, but her office has stated that she will carefully review the bill. According to the Associated Press, the House voted 31-20 in favor of the legislation, which had been stalled but was unexpectedly revived on the last day of this year's legislative session. The Senate passed the measure in January. The measure would grant gay and lesbian couples the same rights and benefits that the state provides to married couples. If approved, Hawaii will become one of six states, along with California, Nevada, New Jersey, Oregon, and Washington, to grant essentially all the rights of marriage to same-sex couples without authorizing marriage itself. And in Washington, D.C., U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is planning to hold a vote this year in her chamber of Congress for Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal, according to her office. The announcement is promising news for repeal advocates because Pelosi has yet to put legislation to the floor that hasn't had sufficient support for passage. Michael Cole, a human rights campaign spokesperson, praised Pelosi for planning the vote, while Aubrey Sarvis, executive director of the Service Members Legal Defense Network, said he learned the House was planning this vote last week in a meeting with House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer. Sarvis said the planned vote is helpful because it underscores to the White House the seriousness of purpose and the importance of moving key votes in both the House and Senate in the upcoming weeks. And the U.S. Supreme Court this week is hearing a Washington state case that could decide whether signing a petition for a ballot measure is a private political act or whether the names of those signers can be made public. The case stems from the contentious battles over Referendum 71, in which traditional marriage supporters last year unsuccessfully sought to overturn an expanded state domestic partner law that grants everything but marriage benefits to gay and lesbian couples. Those who back the repeal effort are trying to shield the petitioners' names from disclosure, saying they could be harassed if their identities were revealed. And closer to home, Mary Kay Henry, the out lesbian leader of the California Nurses Union, has been selected to lead the Service Employees International Union, which represents 2.2 million workers in the United States, Canada, and Puerto Rico. According to an article in Politico.com, the largely unknown Henry won after sentiments turned against Ann Berger, the preferred successor of retired president and major Democratic ally Andy Stern, who had become a divisive figure. Henry, who has served as International Executive Vice President of SEIU since 2004, becomes the first woman and the first openly gay person to lead the union. According to her bio on the union's website, she is a founding member of SEIU's Gay and Lesbian Lavender Caucus. And finally tonight, the Washington Blade, the award-winning 40-year-old newspaper of record for the LGBT community, is returning to newsstands after its former parent company filed for bankruptcy and shuttered the paper in November of 2009. Since then, former Blade staff members have produced a new print and online publication each week under the name DC Agenda. DC Agenda recently announced the acquisition of all assets of Washington Blade, the nation's oldest LGBTQ newspaper, from bankruptcy court. The purchase included the Washington Blade name, all trademarks and copyrights, and the entire 40-year archive. The new Washington Blade hit the streets on Friday, April 30th, and the company is working to restore online access to the paper's electronic archive as soon as possible. And there you have it. This has been Outbeat Radio News. I'm Joel Bellagio.
And welcome back. If you just joined us, you are listening to Living Proof, and I am Sheridan, and my other co-host and wife is Diana Grayer. And we have three moms and a son in studio celebrating Mother's Day tonight. It's an early Mother's Day celebration. We have Shira, Robin, and Lilith joining us. So Diana has the first question.
Hello and welcome back, and the audience out there just listening and waiting to hear your stories, and I am also. So the first question, and we're going to start with you, Shira, is tell us, this is the first question, is kind of getting acquainted, so tell us a little bit about yourself, like how many kids you have, and how did they come about, how did you decide to have them?
First, I just want to make clear to everybody out there that some of you know me as Mary Lou Haddett. I have been Shira since 02 when I was bat mitzvah. So I answer to both names. I lived in the South, and I wanted to get away. And when I was 17, I met a Yankee sailor boy. When I was 19, I fled to New York and disastrously married the Yankee sailor boy. I was pregnant at 20. I had my son at 21. I had never handled a baby. I had never had anything to do with children. He was born 2 weeks early, weighed 5.5 pounds, and I was terrified. Does that tell you enough?
Now, you have other kids.
I have. My son is now 60. He survived. And I have 3 daughters. My oldest daughter is 57. She's a Tibetan Buddhist nun. She's ordained. I have a daughter, 48, who's a lawyer. And I have a daughter, 50, who is a big outdoors person and runs her own cottage industry. So they've all turned out in spite of everything.
Hey, sorry.
Yeah, you say you're terrified, but you did 3 more after that one.
Well, that happened.
With the same Yankee sailor boy?
No. I had 2 husbands, and I had Steve and Gail by my first husband. Gail is the Tibetan nun, and Penny and Lucy by my second husband. So mm-hmm. I wanted an education, and I married an intellectual.
I just was curious. You mentioned you were bat mitzvahed. Do you mind telling the listening audience how old you are? Because in 02...
Oh, I'll be 82 on the 19th of this month.
So 8 years ago you had a bat mitzvah.
That's right.
Oh, mazel tov.
Thank you.
Okay. So, Robin, same question to you. How did your children come about?
Well, for me it was almost a mystical experience. I was never going to have kids. I never planned on it. I never expected it. I thought this world was a terrible place to bring children into. And at the same time, I was always careless with birth control. But nothing happened. And then I spent the summer living with several people, and one of them was a little 3-year-old boy, and I just fell in love with him. And I think it sort of broke through some kind of psychic something, because when I got back together with Charlie, my son's father, the first thing practically I got pregnant, and it was astonishing. Really, it was astonishing, but it was great. It was great. It was, I could just feel this life force coming through me, and there was nothing to be said against that. It's just perfect. It was wonderful. But I never had any more. when they laid him on my chest, I had heard that women have more babies because they forget the experience of childbirth. And they laid him on my chest, and I asked myself, do I want to do this again? Because it had been a real hard labor. And the answer was no. And a couple of years later, when I was in a supermarket, and a woman I knew was there with her infant, and I held the infant, and I could just feel my body saying, baby. And I asked myself, remember that question? Did you want to do this again? No. So one was enough. He was perfect.
Oh.
Oh, thank you.
That was August, and we're going to hear from you later, August. And same to you, same question, Lydith, about, how did it all start for you?
Well, I have 3 children, and my oldest daughter, Felicia, is 39, I think the same age as August. She was born in 71, and her dad and I had moved to the West Coast together, and we were very much in love, and we had this is so funny. We had no jobs and not a secure place to live, and we were new to the West Coast. And so we thought, well, we have lots of time on our hands, and we love each other a lot. Let's have a kid. And so we actually planned to get pregnant, and we did very quickly. And Felicia came along, and she was just a joy. And at that time in my life, I had been a communist, more or less. I mean, I wasn't signed up to the party or anything, but Walter and I had been in community organizing on the East Coast, and that's how we met, and we were very involved with all these rebellious sorts of movements and things. And so I had been raised a Christian, but I had left that, you know, so I didn't have any spiritual basis in my life. And then when Felicia was born, and they put her and on my breast, then I realized this child does not look like a brand new thing that just came from my body. This is an old soul. You know, the spirit is so strong that I realized that there was something else happening in the world besides just what you see is what you get. And so I developed a sense of spirituality that has stayed with me ever since. And then I had so then her dad and I realized that we were bisexual, and we started and we came out together one night, and long story, and then we separated after a while, and then I got together with another fellow and decided to have another child and had Eliza, and then Noah just sort of came along. And so then I knew I had plenty, and I stopped having children after that. I made sure of that. And then after Noah was about 3 years old, I became a lesbian and haven't had anything to do with men, so I know that that's not going to happen anymore. Anyway, I'm 64.
So great. That's a great segue into the next question, which is, when did you come out? When did you decide that you were a lesbian?
So can we just continue with Lilith? Why don't we just go ahead, Lilith, and talk a little bit about your coming out process and where you were when you had your children and how that all kind of...
I was 25 when I had Felicia, and my oldest, and her dad and I stayed together another 2 or 3 years after that, and then when we separated, then I was an active bisexual and had other just such a long story, but I ended up with the tour for a while. He's the father of Eliza and Noah, and we lived together for 5 years and had the children, and then when we separated, that's when I realized I was done with men and just was going to be a lesbian from then on. Fell in love with a woman that lived up here in Sonoma County, and have been here ever since. So that was in 83 I moved up here.
And Robin, what about you and your sexuality and coming out, and how did that all happen with you?
You know, I think it was pretty sloppy, actually. I think it was probably harder on August's father than anybody else at the time, because I can't even remember very well what I was about, but I was a wild thing. And I was involved with a collective of women who were starting a women's publication in the county. It was called Runes, and it lasted for a couple of years. And we were all straight women in Santa Rosa planning to do this newspaper. And we got together with some women in Sonoma who we had rumored we're also going to start a newspaper. So we got together, all of us. Well, they were lesbians, and we were straight. And one night at one of our meetings, one of them came into the room, and I just knew, oh, this is trouble. This is it, you know. And that's when I came out. And that was quite a number of years ago now. And it was just a very natural thing for me. But as I say, it was probably harder on Charlie, and I don't know how it was for August. He told me earlier that he doesn't remember that I came out. I used to have boyfriends, and then I had girlfriends.
Mm-hmm. August, do you want to say anything about that time? Like, how old were you? Do you know?
I remember the newspaper Runes. They made lemonade mixed with grape juice, and we called it Runes juice. Good stuff. I don't remember my mom ever, like, telling me that I'm a lesbian now or something like that. I don't remember that. I remember she had a boyfriend after my dad, and then there was girlfriends around, and I don't know. I don't remember the moment of her coming out, really.
Mm-hmm. How old were you?
I must have been 4 or 5 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you. Shira, what about you? You have 4 kids.
I have 4 kids. when I came out, The two oldest were grown. They were in their early 20s. That's Steve and Gail. Penny and Lucia were, Lucia was maybe 10 or 11, and Penny was maybe 12 or 13. I can't separate quite coming out from being hospitalized and with the manic depressive breakdown. They sort of happened at the same time. And I think both were ways I was trying to get out of my marriage. And it was very difficult for me to get out of the marriage. And I was living in, I moved from Chicago out to the East Bay. I was living in Danville at the time. And this was my second break. And I moved into Berkeley, and I was, I came out, I guess in 74, with a group at the Berkeley Women's Center. It was a support group there. It started off being bisexual, but then it ended up being a lesbian group. And I didn't come out to my kids or my husband, who I found out along the way was bisexual. It all gets so, it's messy. I mean, it's really, it was messy. Yeah, I just got a touch from Robin, and it's not a pretty story. I don't think Steve couldn't have cared less. Steve's a musician, and all he cares about people is whether they're in tune and whether they play keep time. He doesn't care what you look like. He doesn't care your sexual orientation. You just have to play right. Gail has always been a very spiritual person. She's a Buddhist and a very accepting person. So, and she'd also done a lot of fooling around at a commune called Compost College up in Mendocino. So they were fine. The middle daughter, it really, really hurt. And for a long time, she called me Lizzie. Oh. And she wouldn't really talk about it, but I got digs. And this is the daughter that I've done tons and tons of process with about, because she was also the one that got the brunt of my mental illness, or that certainly voiced feeling it. And I felt so good. 2 years ago, I was up in Spokane visiting her, and she introduced me to a friend of hers who was a teacher at Gonzaga, and she said, you know, my mother started a lesbian archive in Sonoma County. Wow. And I thought, oh God, I made it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And Lucia's fine. She went to Mills, and there's lots of lesbians in Mills. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, does that answer your question?
Yeah, I'm just curious about the pain. Not that you need to go into all of that, but was that, you're not coming out or not having support around that, caused any of that to happen? Were you hiding it? Do you remember that?
Well, one, I left my kids. I left the two younger kids. Mm. And I left them because at the time I wasn't able to cope. I had been, was very mentally sick. I had been hospitalized 3 times. And it was a long time before they put me on lithium. It was the right medication. So the pain is as much around the pain that I caused my kids by leaving, which was concurrent. It happened at the same time. You know, I left them. I became a lesbian. I left the marriage. I moved to Sonoma County. I left them in the East Bay. All of this happened at the same time. And I can't sort which came first. You know, they happened together. It was very, very painful for all of us. And we put it aside. I finally, about 3 years ago, I finally forgave myself. And I think my children have all forgiven me. They forgave me long before I forgave myself.
That sounds like a really painful time in your life.
Yeah, this is very, very difficult, and it was messy.
So it sounds like you have a wonderful relationship with them now.
I have a good relationship with him. Mm-hmm. A good relationship. I'm closest to the oldest daughter, and I've struggled. I finally have a warm and cordial relationship with Steve. He had a lot of problems of his own he had to work through. And Penny I get along with fine, and Lucia also. She's a lawyer.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Yeah. So we're going to move over to Robin and find out, you know, and August, we want to hear from you here. How did the kids handle? How did you handle, August, your mom coming out and being with women? How was that for you?
Was there anything to handle?
Like I said, I don't remember her coming out. So I just remember that we started changing the spelling of the word women to put a Y in it to cut out the word men, which I thought was a little strange. But then I just kind of went along with it.
How old were you?
I guess I was like, I don't know, around 6 or 7 when that was happening.
But women were coming over. I mean, you were dating and they took care of you. And so what was that relationship like for you with her partners?
I guess the relationship between me and her partners was always a little strained, mainly because I think for the most part they didn't really appreciate that I was around at all, frankly.
What do you mean?
I don't know. A couple of them specifically were not ever very, like, warm to me or, you know. It was like, I think they liked my mom and it was a hassle for them that she had a kid, regardless of what gender the kid was. I don't know.
Did you ever tell your mom?
We've talked about it, you know, in recent years. Back then, I don't think we were really talking about it too much. Yeah, I don't know. I don't. It was a little weird sometimes between her friends and me. I don't know, but I was close with a few of them, or I thought I was, and they were, you know, always nice, at least when I was little.
Well, we're going to get back to that comment, at least when I was little, after our music break, August. But right now what we're going to do is Lilith has a poem that she's written, a book of poetry around her children, and we've invited her, or she has offered to share some poetry with us. We'd like to go out to music break listening to a poem from Lilith. We'll have our music break and come back in for our second half of our interview.
Okay, this is a poem called After a Bath with Noah, and he was my youngest, and he was only 3 when I wrote this poem. My kids and I, we look alike. Lovely, muscular backs, round, dimpled asses, smooth-skinned bellies pooching over our pants. We all stand with feet firmly planted, knees locked, backs swayed, staring out at the world through clear, bright eyes, all deep blue save one pair of green-brown ones. Our head hair is straight, thick, and fine at the same time, but our other hair is curly, soft, and abundant. We are a broad-shouldered, small-footed lot with long, capable fingers, sturdy hands, and elegant wrists at the ends of slim brown arms. Our broad smiles flash vistas of sharp white teeth and large, eloquent mouths. Our lower lips hang sensuously full and friendly, though our foreheads, high and fine, are sometimes laced with brooding lines. My kids and I, we look alike. Lovely muscular backs, round dimpled asses, smooth-skinned bellies pooching over our pants. And I wrote that in June of 1983.
I remember long ago, I was your one true miracle. That's what you always used to say. Oh, I think I'll miss you most of all. The hours are all against me now, heart by heart against the day. Mother, mother, keep me safe from harm. Come into my room tonight and hold me in your arms, for I am still your shining child, the one you know by name. Mother, mother, be safe from harm. Come into my room tonight and hold me in your arms, for I am still your shining child, the one you know by name. Mother, mother. Safe from harm. Come into my room tonight and hold me in your arms, for I am still your shining child, the one you know by name.
If you just are joining us, this is Living Proof, and we are talking with some very beautiful and wonderful mothers tonight. And speaking of mothers, that was Michael Callen singing Mother, Mother off his Legacy CD. And we are back in studio with three moms, like I was saying, and one son, the son, August, and his mother, Robin. So, August, right before Lilith read her poem, you had said that your mom's partners or girlfriends thought you were cute when you were little, or they were nice to you when you were little. Could you say a little bit more about what you meant?
Sure. Let me just start by saying that my mom is the greatest in the world, and I love her very much, and I'm here to kind of hang out with her and honor her, and she's just the best. So
beautiful.
Thanks, Mom.
Oh, thanks.
For everything that you've done. I really appreciate it. But to your question, yeah, I mean, there were some people who I think didn't really appreciate that I was getting older and I was becoming a man, and you know, they were really kind of turned off by men and didn't want to have anything to do with men, and you know, didn't want to talk to me anymore. And I thought they were, you know, I've been like hanging around with them for years. I knew them, and they, you know, kind of were like, didn't want to talk to me. Like, I ran into a couple of them on the street, and I said, hey, and they were like, you know, they just kind of blew me off, and I was kind of hurt by that.
Mm-hmm. I'd say.
And I remember one time, specifically, one of my mom's girlfriends told me that, and I was pretty young, I think, at this point, probably around, like, I don't know, 10 or something, that all the world's problems were caused by the fact that men persecute women because they can't stand up to pee. Which obviously sounds pretty ridiculous and like bull to everybody listening, but at the time I was like, wow, really? That's not right. Why would they do that? Mm. And I was like, I'm not going to be like that, you know. And it kind of took me a while to find myself as a man. Mm-hmm. And realizing that I didn't have to worry about being the guy who, you know, is mad at women for something ridiculous like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she sounded pretty angry.
She was an angry person, yeah.
That's interesting, because I know when you have a boy child sometimes, and you're a lesbian mom, people say to you, how are you going to teach your son to pee? You know, he's how's he going to learn to stand up and do it?
He'll figure it out, trust me.
One of those fascinations that people seem to have.
Really? Really, they do. Yeah, lesbian mothers get that.
Yeah, that's wow. Crazy.
Wow. Well, the thing that I can kind of tie into what August was saying, this is Robin again, is that separatism was really big at the time that that I was a fairly new mother and he was a little kid, and I had come out into the women's community in Sonoma County, and separatism was really something. And I, you know, today I can see it. I understand that it comes from an oppressed people trying to get out from under the feeling of oppression. So lots of women would say rude things about men and make jokes about men being inferior in some way. And I didn't realize that this was affecting August. It's kind of like learning when your kid is an adult, learning that there was molestation going on. You know, this is kind of an emotional abuse. And I didn't realize it, that it was like that. And I joined right in with them, really, I'm sure. I mean, I didn't say some of the things that they said to him, but I know I had my
male bashing.
Yes, exactly, male bashing. And August has taught me in more recent years not to do that anymore. And I correct women who do it when I hear them now, because I've realized that there's something wrong with that. And I think that was one of the probably the worst thing about being a lesbian mother in the company of other lesbians was that lack of respect for the male child. Mm-hmm. I mean, when he was really little, we couldn't get into certain women's events because he was a boy child, you know. Oh, we're not going to have any boys there. So I didn't try to take him. I didn't do like some women did and insist, because I didn't want to expose him to that blatantly. But it was a big deciding factor, I think, in my life and possibly August's, just in some regard.
And Robin and I were talking about that earlier about Noah, my youngest, was just about 4 years old when we moved up here to the county, and I my parents had bought us a house, and I had a spare room for rent. And I couldn't get a lesbian to live with us because we had the boy child, even though he was just this little boy, and he was such a sweet little thing. But that was the height of separatism that was the mid-80s. I think you probably experienced it a little earlier. But now, my oldest daughter, Felicia, she's a lesbian, and she and her partner have two little boys that Felicia had with insemination, and almost all of the children of insemination seem to be boys. And so now there's this big embrace of the lesbian community for boy children. And, oh, how wonderful, you know. And so it's a shame that they went through that. But, I mean, it's a growth thing. And like you said, it's a result of some struggle and discrimination against us that women went through.
Right. Well, thank you. We have to take a quick music break, and we're going to do a little bit of underwriting, and we will be right back.
Support for Outbeat Salon on KRCB-FM comes from members and from Advanced Fertility Associates Medical Group, providing comprehensive fertility care to men, women, and couples wishing to expand their families. Advanced technology, old-fashioned care. Serving Santa Rosa and the North Bay for 25 years. On the web at afamd.com. And from PFLAG, the North Bay chapter of parents, family, and friends of lesbians, gays, transgender, and intersexed persons. The Santa Rosa Support Group meets at 7:30 p.m. on the fourth Monday of the month at 312 Chin Street. Information about support group meetings in Napa, Marin, or Mendocino counties is available at 1-866-350-2462 or on the web at pflag-nb.org.
And welcome back. This is Living Proof, and we are talking to three beautiful mothers tonight. So we're in studio with Shira, Robin, and Lilith.
Yeah, we want to continue a little bit of discussion on separatism. And, I mean, with
sounds very hard, very confusing at the time and difficult. So who did you go to? Who are your community? Who did you have as support? Did you have family support when you were dealing with these struggles?
Well, I didn't have any particular family support, but I did have other lesbian mothers for friends. And we would do these things like insisting on childcare at meetings and at events, and it was new, you know. It was not much. There wasn't much of that in those days, and we would insist on it, and usually childcare would be provided. And I don't know how happy everybody was about that.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know whether everybody in this collective or that group or that organization felt really happy about having to provide childcare. But it was, as Lilla said, it was a matter of growing and learning and educating. So they did. And it was, I would say, I had two or three friends who were moms I was pretty close with.
Sure, you wanted to say something?
Cheryl, what about family support for you? Yeah. After you, let's say, you moved to Sonoma County and you were separated from your two children and you'd left your husband, who did you go to for support?
I got support from my oldest daughter, who has long been my major support system.
Mm-hmm.
My two younger daughters were off on living their own lives, very separate from me. My middle daughter was really blown away when she came to visit me with her boyfriend at my lesbian house in Petaluma and was told her boyfriend couldn't sleep there.
By your roommates?
By my roommates.
Oh, wow.
So my children are all now very, quite supportive. I had recently had pneumonia, and my lawyer daughter from Oakland moved out to Sonoma County to stay with me in the hospital. So I have, they're good kids.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And Lilith? Who did you go to for support when you had Noah and you had other lesbians saying no to boys, and what did you do?
Well, my lover at the time, Martha Carteau, she was a mother too. She didn't have any boy children, but she loved Noah, and Shira and I were lovers for a while, and she was very friendly and pleased with Noah, always played with him. And I belonged to the sitting room, the women's library in Cotati, and I lived in Roner Park, not very far from there. And so most of the women that were part of the sitting room, you know, that was from J.J. Wilson started that out of Sonoma State, and I was a student at Sonoma State, was one of the main reasons I moved to the county. And so all the women there were open to having the kids come and play around their feet while we had discussions about Virginia Woolf and so forth. It was really very pleasant, and you know, it just worked out. My oldest daughter, Felicia, she would come sometimes from the city and hang out with the kids while I had a little break too. So that helped a lot.
Okay. I'm thinking about this question that I have on my mind, and it might be interesting for you to, Robin and August, to talk about this, but Shira and Lilith, this is, if your kids could describe you, what would they say about you? Okay, so we're going to have Shira start, and then we'll go around. But I want you to start, Robin, before August says how he would describe you, okay?
So I read this question when you sent it out, and I made a little note, and it says, "Oh, Mom, she tries, she's okay."
That's cute.
And that's I'm pretty sure that's about what they'd say.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. I know that August really loves me. I don't see him as often as I'd like to, but I know that he He cares about me. He probably talks about me occasionally to his friends. Maybe he says I'm a dyke. I don't know.
But I tell them you're a minister.
Oh, well, that's true, too.
Oh, say more about that.
I'm a religious science minister, and I was recently involved with Global Heart Spiritual Center in Santa Rosa, which unfortunately has now closed, so now maybe I'm a retired minister. But anyway, thanks, August. That's a good way to say something about me.
And how would you describe your mom, August?
She's great. I love her very much. When I was growing up, I may have made it sound more negative last time I spoke than it really was. A lot of my upbringing was a little tough, but I went to my mom's on weekends, and I always like really looked forward to it. I was like my favorite part of the week generally was going to her house, and I don't know, I got to relax. Maybe she spoiled me a little bit. I don't know. But weekdays with my dad and the rest of our other part of my family were always seemed like a little harder. And then I got to go to my mom's on the weekends, and it was always nice. And I think I started to get older. I was like, hey, Mom, you know, can I have the weekend off? Basically, like, and can I borrow your car?
Well, I remember when he told me he was going to move out of his dad's house as soon as he turned 18. And I said, oh, well, that'll be quite a change for your dad, won't it? And he said, well, Mom, I won't be coming over here every weekend either.
Oh.
Oh, no.
And Lilith, how would your kids describe you, do you think?
Well, I think different ones would describe me differently. My oldest daughter, Felicia, she and her partner, Rachel, they live a very, I don't know how to describe it, a normal sort of a life. They both work hard. Rachel just recently became ordained as a rabbi, and they live in L.A., and Felicia is the executive director of a gay and lesbian synagogue, and they have the two boys, and they do all kinds of activities with the kids and take them to ball games and so forth. And so Felicia's life is so much more regular than mine ever was. I think Robin mentioned before that she was sort of a hippie, and I've maintained my hippiness throughout my whole life. And so the younger two, Eliza and Noah, have a little bit more similar lifestyles to mine. But they would say that I was fun and that I'm a poet, a poet. You can't expect everything regular from a poet. And we have a really good relationship I have with all of them. And they're my grandkids, they have four grandsons now. So that's really super.
Wow. Well, speaking of poetry, you have one more poem you'd like to share with us.
Is it the end already?
It's almost at the end, but it's not quite at the end, but okay. I think this would be a good time.
All right. This is another poem for when they were little. Soft cheeks. I came home and kissed the children in their beds. They each rolled over, snuggled deeper in their sleep. You don't kiss us when you come in. I know it, 4-year-old Noah had accused me this morning at breakfast. Sure I do. Of course I do, I replied. But I lied. He was right. I hadn't been. It had seemed too silly to be kissing sleeping kids. Certainly I checked them, pulled up covers, turned down lights, but kissing them, well, not late at night. How did he know, though? How did he know? So tonight I did kiss them as I bent over their beds. Sweet dreams, beautiful child of mine, I murmured to each in turn as I brushed my lips over those dear soft cheeks. When each frowned, sighed, rolled over in deeper sleep, I knew how he knew.
Oh, my gosh. Beautiful.
That brought tears to my eyes. Oh, little Noah.
Little Noah.
To have Mom write such beautiful words, they get to read those all the time. What memories.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and his child is just the same age as that now. He's got a darling little boy over in Hawaii with a Hawaiian partner, and so it's so sweet to relive those days of their childhood with the grandchildren. I know Shira has grandchildren,
I have five grandsons.
Wow.
Wow. Okay, so we're going to have to move on here. So we want to ask you, time just flies when we're having fun, right, Shira? So I want to ask you this final question. As you think about your experience being mothers and a son, you can share too. What advice or support you can offer to the women, to the children, August, who are listening? That, you know, whatever you feel that you can offer.
I saw your written question, and I really, really thought about it. And I thought about all the difficulties and the messes that I've had in my life. And I kept going back to the same thing. And I think it is what has kept the lines of communication open between me and my four children, and what has let us grow and mature and love over the years. And that is that I never, ever denied anything that was true, and I never, ever lied to them. And it was real, real difficult not to lie, believe me, real difficult.
Thank you.
That takes a lot of courage.
Mm-hmm. That does. What I was thinking to advise any mother is to love your children. Just love them, you know. And that was one thing that I always had for August when he was little, was I really loved him. And I know his daddy really loved him as well. So that no matter what other kinds of things happened, I know he had a strong basis in that, you know, in that, you know. And your poem, Lilith, was so wonderful, that tenderness, because I remember doing that, you know, kissing him goodnight when he was asleep sometimes. That is so sweet. Mm-hmm. And we forget that kind of thing sometimes. Thank you.
I never felt unloved, just for the record. Never once.
Oh, you guys are just too sweet.
August, do you have any advice for moms out there?
Keep it real. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think Shira maybe touched on just being honest. And you know, my mom said, love your kids. And that's probably, those are probably the two most important things.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, one of the things Shira and I talked about a while back when we were having dinner about this show was that our daughters, at least one of my daughters, and I don't know how many of hers, one at least, had said, well, we want to go off and live with our fathers. And so I let Eliza do that. I mean, she actually, you know, in her early teens was adamant that she didn't like living with me. She needed to go be with her dad. And then in her early 20s, she said to me, why did you make me go live with my dad? I hated that. He was awful. Now look at this, all this post, you know, now she's been going to a therapist and she says she has post-traumatic stress from living with him and all this sort of thing. And so what I learned from that is don't take what they say to you at that time period. Don't let that be the thing that lets you make the decision. You know, your kids are going to rebel against you, that they should. But at the same time, you have to really be firm in your loving and in your honesty and realize what's the best thing for them, and to do what you can to make the situation work for all of you.
Boy.
And then to forgive yourself when you make mistakes, because you're going to.
That's big.
That is huge. You guys, thank you so much for your advice. Wonderful, wonderful advice. Thank you so much for coming on and being our guest tonight. And happy early, happy Mother's Day.
It's been wonderful being here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us tonight, listening audience. You can hear Living Proof every first Sunday of the month. If you miss it, you can go to our Facebook page and listen in when it's convenient. You just go to Living Proof and you'll find it right there. And Jeff, our engineer, will upload it for you there. So it is archived. In the meantime, remember, just like our guests, that you too can be living proof that despite the obstacles, you can persevere and come out a better, stronger person.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
I look into the window of my mind. Reflections of the fears I know I've left behind. I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. I'm on my can't stop me now, and you can do the same, yeah. What have you done today to make you feel proud? It's never too late to try. What have you done today to make you feel proud? Mm-hmm. You could be so many.
Support for Outbeat Salon on KRCB-FM comes from members and from Advanced Fertility Associates Medical Group, providing comprehensive fertility care to men, women, and couples wishing to expand their families. Advanced technology, old-fashioned care, serving Santa Rosa and the North Bay for 25 years, on the web at afamd.com. And from St. Joseph Health System of Sonoma County. St. Joseph Health System understands that there's more to you than can be found on a chart. By taking the time to understand your life, the team at St. Joseph Health System is able to provide a whole new level of personalized care and comfort. More information can be found at stjosephhealth.org. Next week on Outbeat Radio, join host Sunbell as she explores the sunny side of LGBT music. And coming up in May.
May is National Law Enforcement Appreciation Month. This month on Outbeat Radio, join us for a look at gay and lesbian police officers from across the country who are becoming more visible within the ranks of law enforcement. We'll hear stories from officers out on the job, as well as those who were fired for just being who they are. Outbeat Radio comes out for Behind the Badge, Sunday, May 30th at 8 p.m. on KRCB Radio.